Topics you care about by people you trust. This is The Clear Perspective, your healthcare cybersecurity, compliance, and privacy podcast. And now for the show.
I'm Steve Cagle, the CEO of Clearwater Security and Compliance. In today's podcast, we'll discuss how to both change leadership's mindsets about cyber risks and gain support for advancing cybersecurity programs. I'm joined today by two legends in healthcare cybersecurity and compliance, Mac McMillan and Bob Chaput. So let's get started. What are some of the best practices for implementing cyber risk management and getting attention and leadership at the board level? I think we all agree that healthcare organizations do need to treat this like a business problem. And to do that, they really have to have more rigorous risk management programs in place. That's been a challenge. Bob, you literally wrote a book about this. So we'd love to get your thoughts on what some of the pitfalls are that you typically see when it comes to implementing a risk management program that really is reasonable and appropriate for what we're talking about here.
I'll take it from two different perspectives. First of all, playing defense, and that is the generally regarded manner in which people approach risk as it's all about the downside and managing the downside. But I'm also going to come back to a different point of view, playing offense and managing the upside. So first of all, on the downside, we've all seen it. The single biggest issue, and it comes back to something we spoke about earlier, organizations failing to identify their unique exposures, their unique risk, and I'll say, and opportunities when we come back to the positive. The old favorite HIPAA security rule, yeah, it's long in the tooth, but go back to the first implementation specification in the first standard, in the first area, administrative safeguards, is all about what? Find out what your exposures are. Don't go launching full stream ahead on some blitzkrieg to implement a bunch of controls without knowing what your specific issues are. And if this gets back to the matter of spending, there is so much money that is being wasted today because people are underinvesting on their real exposures and overinvesting on things that might have been on somebody's threat du jour at some point in time. So this implementation spec has been on the book forever. And as we know from the data, 20 plus years later, 90 plus percent of the organizations, healthcare organizations, who end up either audited by OCR and that sort of faded away, but more relevantly, being investigated by OCR, 90% of them don't do it. They just fundamentally don't do it. And I'm sorry to characterize it this way. There are a bunch of gunslingers out there that are shooting at threats and vulnerabilities du jour and implementing somebody's control checklist in the absence of knowing what the risks are. Let me say it in a slightly better light. There are lots of brilliant security engineers, security architects, security operations people. There just simply aren't enough risk analysts who are in this space right now helping organizations with their real exposures are. The fix is treat this. Organizations, the boards need to ultimately take ownership. And by the way, the good news is, if you think about boards' responsibilities, three main things. Number one, strategy. Number two, talent management. And number three, risk management. So risk is ostensibly floating around in their head. So you've got to treat it as a transformational program. Governance, people, process, technology, and engagement. Let me pivot over to managing the upside. This is the theme. Thanks for mentioning the book, Steve, in the beginning. Enterprise cyber risk management as a value creator. What the heck does that mean? I mean, I'm having trouble getting budget to implement multi-factor authentication. How am I going to possibly do anything different than that? Well, not all organizations are ready for it, but this is really about understanding what your cyber strengths are. And do you have within your repertoire, and by the way, if you do risk, and I'm going to add a word, an opportunity analysis, you'll be able to find your most egregious exposures and also highlight your strengths. Is there something going on in your environment that you're going to be able to present to the C-suite, the CFO, and the rest of the organization about increasing customer trust and brand loyalty? Here's a great example, Equifax. Unless you're on an interplanetary space mission for the last 6 or 10 years, you probably heard about Equifax. Look at what they're doing today. They're publishing the Equifax annual security report. Boom, customer trust, loyalty. Think about cybersecurity from a social responsibility point of view. ESG is a big agenda item for boards today. Think about driving revenue growth. This might be a little tougher, but for the past 10 years, a lot of CIOs have been challenged. If they've done something special, unique, and different in their environment that's saleable on the outside, turn it into a revenue generation solution that you go to market with. So I think what we need to do, twofold. Number one, obviously, we can't drop our guard and stop playing defense, but we need to do that a lot better with a lot more focuses on understanding our exposure, and in so doing, understand our opportunities, manage the downside and manage the upside.
Yeah, and great points, Bob. It's not just about finding the exposures; it's finding maybe the places we're overinvested, or you know, we could divert that to an area that we have more of a need. Communicating risk. We talked about how important it is to get the board, to get leadership on board. That's a struggle for a lot of chief information security officers. Having a conversation that's digestible at that level, and helping them to gain the support for their programs. Mac, what would be some of the advice you could give to those security leaders to be more effective in having those conversations and getting what they
need? So, yeah, I'm going to go back to something that Bob said earlier, and he's spot on. We have a ton of point solutions and what I call point experts, right? They do one thing really well, but we have very few what I call true cybersecurity managers, right? Somebody who actually understands how to manage an information security program. And if you think about everything we do in business, and it's really interesting when you talk about the board would never, never let you launch a new business initiative without first showing me a plan. Show me a plan, show me a budget, show me how it's going to impact the business, explain why we're doing this, etc. But we don't ever do that on the security side in most cases, right? But we should be doing that, right? And to Bob's point, just chasing this standard or that standard or this fix or this correction or that correction, as opposed to stopping after you've done that, hopefully, enterprise level risk assessment and taking stock of where you are today and then thinking about where you need to be or want to get to, and both your opportunities and your deficiencies. Sit down and develop a plan, right? So that when you go to talk to the board or go to talk to executive leadership, you can actually say, I'm not buying MFA for the sake of buying MFA, or I'm not buying this or that for the sake of whatever it is, but it's part of an overall plan that's gonna make us healthier from a cyber perspective and support the business initiatives that we want to be able to pursue. And I've done this on several occasions as an advisor to a board, the CIO or the CISO, whoever presents the budget requirements for or requests for security. I say, where's your security plan? And it's like silence in the room. It's like you committed to sin almost, right? You ask that question. And I'm like, I want to see how this fits, you know, and why this is a priority, why it's a priority now instead of maybe later, or why this is a priority instead of something else. And they haven't done that. They don't develop that plan. Even if you do a good risk analysis, having a lot of information and not understanding what to do with it or what you're going to do with it is just as bad, right? So there's a couple of pieces there. But I think that ultimately, you got to understand the business. And our CISOs that are out there today and our security people have got to understand that they too are a businessman or businesswoman. And they've got to understand the business that they're in, the industry that they're in. What's important, what's not, what's a priority, what's not. Where is the business going? What is it trying to accomplish? Are we launching telehealth this year? Are we, you know, what are we doing? How does that impact our security plan? Are we ready to do that? First of all, they have to learn some business acumen to go along with their security acumen. Every other leader of a functional area in the hospital is expected to know that. We should be no different. We need to understand the customer that we have. we should be able to explain the ROI. And, you know, I talked about examples of using industry data that's out there that's very, you know, that you can get your hands on. Go talk to the CFO. What is telehealth going to bring to the hospital in terms of expected revenue? What's it going to cost us to protect it properly? It's not rocket science, but you've got to start with a fundamental understanding of where the business is, where it's going. And let's face it, even though hospitals are in the business of caring for people, they are businesses. They are businesses.
Spot on. It's all about talking business. You probably observed the same evolution that I did over starting back in the late 70s and 80s as the CIO, who was once known as the manager of EDP, was allowed out of the basement and eventually worked his way up to having a seat at the table. And that evolution involved a lot of education and the development of business savvy and the ability to sit at the table and talk about the work of information technology, business technology, in the context of the business. And I think we have the same thing today. And I think smart CISOs are seeking help and support. Picture second grade science when we learned about a fulcrum. So right now, with enterprise cyber risk management or cybersecurity over here, it's not being talked about. If we want to elevate that on this side of the fulcrum, we need to start talking about customer trust. We need to talk about the financials, as you did earlier today. We need to talk about competition in vis-a-vis the technology invaders, like all the big tech firms. We need to talk about reputation, M&A, and of course, personal liability always helps a little bit to get the attention. But if we're going to get to that point where we ring the bell in the C-suite and in the boardroom, we've got to start talking the language that those folks are talking. In my experience, you know, a good 40 years before the CIO role became what it became in the corporations in which I worked, and I think we're on that same evolutionary track right now.
It's about appealing to what's important, what they want to talk about, and making that connection. So we're talking about that. We've been talking about that at the board level, at the C-suite level. We know it takes the top down, but it also takes the bottom up. To really, especially today, we have so many phishing attacks and social engineering attacks where people are a top vector of a cybersecurity attack in most industries, especially in healthcare. I recently, Bob, heard a CIO asked, how many people are in your security organization? And the way she answered this question, she said 9,432, which represented the total number of employees in the organization. I said, oh, that's a really good sign that this is an organization that's trying to build cybersecurity into the culture of the organization. Every single individual in that organization is on the team. Why is it so important to build a cybersecurity culture within healthcare? And how does one even go about doing that?
Great question. And by the way, it reminds me of our mutual friend, David Finn, telling me a number of years ago that the organization he was affiliated with basically went out and deputized everyone as privacy officers and security officers. For the same purpose, to help create that culture. So how do we get to a different culture? Here's a wild and crazy idea. Why are there not cyber risk management and compliance and cybersecurity related goals, performance goals, set at the executive level? I was doing some research for my book. I found that there's an Australian, happens to be a healthcare company, that canceled $3.6 million of executive bonuses that were going to the CEO, the CFO, and two other executives. The name of the company is Metabank. You can look it up. And because the organization was attacked and there were 10 million individuals' records who were breached. So I'm sorry. Somehow I've come to learn over time that compensation usually has a relationship with performance. So there's a way to do it. At the most basic level, it gets back to something we spoke about earlier, patient safety. And I hope to think that in all healthcare organizations, there's a culture of patient safety and a culture of avoiding patient harm. Remember, whether it was Hippocrates or a French surgeon, I've heard different attribution. There's this old expression, first do no harm. Let's leverage that phenomena in our healthcare organizations and bring together the risk officer, the CMIO, obviously the CIO, the CISO, cross-functional leaders. And then with that group of people at an executive steering level, let's recruit the board to help set the tone as to what we're going to do going forward. I talk about the book that is coming up, 10 specific tangible things that organizations might do. And I'll just tell you three out of the starting gate. The very first one is for the C-suite and the board to establish some guiding principle by which this is going to be done. That's not scary, techno, worrisome stuff for boards and C-suite people. That's what they ought to be doing, is setting guiding principles. The second thing is, once those are set, begin to educate the organization. The third one is to establish and document. Matt talked about it. What's the plan, man? What's the ECRM, as I call it, Enterprise Cyber Risk Management Program, and the attendant cybersecurity strategy? Those are just some quick top of mind things that we can begin to do to help move that in the direction of creating the culture that we want around cybersecurity.
All good stuff that I agree with 100%. And the only thing that I'd probably add is, probably in my mind, in my experiences over the last four decades, the most important factor in establishing that security culture or turning that organization in the right direction is leadership, is the leader. Use an example of a company, of a hospital back east, and I'm not going to name them, obviously, because I don't want somebody to go after them at some point. But this hospital, I worked with them for a number of years, and one of the things that the CEO did at this hospital, which I thought was so impressive, and because it replicated what I experienced at my agency with my director, and that is, whenever something in security was being rolled out or announced or a change was going to be made to security, regardless of what it was, whether it was as simple as a password change to some new, you know, rolling out MFA or rolling out encryption on laptops or whatever, that was going to impact the staff, the CEO announced the initiative. The CEO was the guy who got up in front of the entire hospital and said, "We're getting ready to do this for this reason. And I need everybody to understand that and get on board and help security get this done as quickly as possible." And he did that. And that organization had probably one of the best security programs of any of the hospitals that we worked with. He took an interest in everything the hospital did, not just security, but or logistics or finance, or I don't care what it was. He was the voice that went out and said, "Here's what we're about to do." So that everybody in that organization knew that from the top down, this was something that was supported, and that it was something that was a priority. And it had a tremendous impact on the organization. And he would always hold up whatever his device was and say, "And they've already done it to mine." You know, I've watched this in hospitals over and over again. You cannot discount the impact that leadership has. They listen to you, they watch you, they see what you do, right? You can say all day long that this is important, but you don't give it resources. They know that it's not really important to you. You show me an institution that has a good, strong leadership message and good resourcing of whatever it is that you're trying to get done, and I'll show you an organization that understands that that's a priority. You still have to turn it into something real, which is what Bob mm-hmm. laid out.
Yeah. So having the leadership, having the plan in place, critical, having the support from the board, Mac, any other things, let's say, that would give you a good indication. And we talk about indicators of compromise. I mean, what about indicators of cybersecurity culture? What are some of the things you would see in an organization that would say, "Hey, I can tell things are really working here"?
As an old security director myself, and I used to come to work back in those days, and I'd come in at 6 o'clock and I'd get through my messages and everything, and by 7:30 after the staff meeting, I'd be out moving around the agency, right? And then I'd come back to my office at the end of the day and I would report to my staff what I learned. And I did this over and over again. And I would just go and spend time and talk to people, and I'd get a feel for, what do they know? What do they understand? What have they heard? Talk to the nurse, talk to a doctor. talk to the janitor. I just talk to people. And it's amazing what you learn, because everybody seems to think that we write a policy and we publish it and it's magically followed, or that they're doing the right thing. And oftentimes that just isn't the case, right? You can get a sense of it by feeling what goes on with the people at the organization. Then you can do the more mechanical things of show me the budget. Mm-hmm. You say it's a priority, show me the money. You prioritize the upgrade of the physician's lounge, but you didn't fund MFA. Don't listen to what they say. Look at what they're doing.
Great thoughts. Thank you both of you, Mac and Bob. We hope you enjoyed this episode and gained valuable insights.